It is once more for us here in Toronto a great delight and a joy to welcome again our brother Richard Craig from our church in Little London, Jamaica. And just before the service tonight, I was talking with a brother down here who is also from Jamaica, from the Kingston area, and he's visiting tonight in the service. And I said, well, you have a double delight tonight, really, because you have a brother from your native land of Jamaica who'll be bringing the word for us tonight. It's a great privilege. Brother Richard and myself, well, we have known each other for a long time, going back as far as really the mission has been in operation and in Little London, Jamaica since 1989, almost 30 years. And how God has done a great thing in the trials and challenges and difficulties of any church work. And yet our brother, by the grace of God, has continued on and witnessing to small and great. And he has a full-time employment. He works at a very important job. He's in a managing area in a security company. And yet he also bears the responsibility of the church in Little London, Jamaica, along with our brother Randy Gunnings, who is actually preaching the word today. And Brother Randy, we had hoped that he would have been able to come as well, but he was not able to because the documents did not come through in time. We're sad about that, but we're also happy that our brother Richard is with us tonight. We enjoyed his ministry this morning, and we're going to ask him to bring the word now tonight. The Lord has laid upon your heart.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Pastor Larry. Again, it's a joy and a great privilege again to be with you this Lord's Day evening. Again, we bring you greetings from our own congregation there in Little London, Jamaica, and they are doing good. I was speaking with my brother Randy this morning, and he's saying that all is good there, and they are remembering you in their prayers. I must say, the congregation in Little London, Jamaica, do appreciate very much your support in every way, spiritually, financially, and even mentally. And we do appreciate that from our hearts. Very much indeed. You know, sometimes some things are being said, and perhaps it may be taken very lightly, but I want to emphasize that, indeed re-emphasize that, how we greatly appreciate very much your support in every way indeed. I invite you to turn with me, please, in God's Word to 1 Samuel chapter 18. 1 Samuel chapter 18, please, for our reading and also for our meditation tonight. And we shall read the first five verses, so verses 1 through to 5 of 1 Samuel chapter 18. And it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David. And Jonathan loved David as his own soul. And Saul took him that day and would not let him go no more to his father's house. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him and gave it to David and his garments, even to his sword and to his bow and to his girdle. And David went out wheresoever Saul sent him, and he behaved himself wisely. And Saul set him over the men of war, and he was accepted in the sight of all the people, and also in the sight of Saul's servant. Amen. We know that God in his mercy and also in his divine grace, that he would add his own blessing to the reading of his word to our own hearts for his precious name's sake. Shall we together bow in prayer as we come to God's word? Loving Lord of glory, we give thee thanks tonight for the opportunity and for such occasion that finds us here. We pray, O God, that now as we come to thy word, we pray that you might take thy word and apply thy word to our hearts and to our lives. And we pray, O God, that we may all be edified and strengthened by thy word. Bless the preacher and bless the listeners alike. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. God, in his own wise wisdom, from before the foundation of the world, has a particular and has a special people in mind, not only to redeem, but also for a great purpose in the work of Jesus Christ. God has always set his people apart to do or to work for him in a very special and a very real way. And those people that he has set apart must be tested, must be challenged, and of course, as we have said, must face difficult times. The Christian, the child of God, live the best life, that is the life of Jesus Christ. But equally true, the child of God faces the most difficult task in life. God's people are very, therefore, special to him in every way of life. Here we find in the passage that we read, we find a very young man, a young man in his teens, a young man who in the sight of the world, even in the sight of his own family, was nothing. Just a little boy who takes care of sheep. And so he would go in day and night and take care of the sheep. He was nothing in the sight of the world, nothing in the sight of his family, just a little lad who takes care of animals. David, we find here, grew up as a shepherd boy, taking care of sheep. But although as a child growing up, there was something special and there was something evident about him. You see, the child of God can be clearly identified. The child of God has a special mark. Why? Because the Spirit of Jehovah God dwells, or if you will, abide with such an individual. And therefore, such an individual is identified even in the world in which we live. But only God knew. Only God knew in his wise wisdom that this young man, David, was destined to become somebody great and somebody that was going to be used mightily in God's work. Oh, the world did not see that. His own family members did not see that. That brings to our hearts and brings to our minds that man oftentimes does not see things according to how God sees things. But this was evident. There was something evident about him. Look with me, please, at verse 12, first of all. That there was something evident about him. And Saul was afraid of David. Why? Because the Lord was with him and was departed from Saul. Look at verse 14. And David behaved himself wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. Look at verse 28. And Saul saw, and Saul saw and knew that the Lord was with David. Saul here became afraid of David because he realized, because he observed, because he noticed something different about this man. He noticed that the Spirit of Jehovah God was dwelling and was abiding with him. And therefore, he was afraid. You see, the world, the enemy, should be afraid of God's people. In what sense? Not because when they do us wrong, we're going to take up knives or our guns. No. But when we get down on our knees and place them before the Lord Jesus Christ. David was an insignificant young man. Insignificant young lad. All he was doing was taking care of sheep and playing his harp as usual. He was insignificant in the eyes of the world. That even when Samuel invited the family to his home, the question was asked, "Is this all your family? Is this all?" And they says, "Well, not exactly, but there is a little one. And he is not here. Oh, he takes care of the sheep. He takes care of the animal. Oh, he is not important." And Samuel says, "We will not proceed. We will not continue until thou fetch me him." Only God knew the duty, the great responsibility that was going to be placed upon this young lad's shoulder. Only God knew. We have little ones in our gathering tonight. Sometimes as adults we may say, "Go and sit," or "Go one side." But only God knows the mission that he has for such a little one. Only God knew that David was destined to become king of Israel. Now David, brethren, saw him along with others so insignificant, but only God see the great need and the task in David. They were looking for a king, but only God knew who it was that was going to become king. Chapter 16, verse 10 tells us that. God looks on things differently from man's perspective. How does God look on things? And how does man see things? If you just glance over to chapter 16, please, chapter 16. We have a wonderful illustration of something. Look at verse 17. It tells us something. Verse 7. First Samuel 16, verse 7. This is how God sees things differently from man. Verse 7 says, "But the Lord said unto Saul, look not on his countenance." Let's pause there for a moment. How often times there is a misunderstanding, perhaps a misconception, indeed a mistake, because we look, because we observe, if you will, the countenance, the face of an individual, and then we judge wrongfully. Listen what we have here for our learning. Listen what we have here for our edification, if you will. But the Lord said unto Saul, look not on his countenance, nor on the height of his hatchet, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Amen. Here we see the glorious truth of the heart of God, the different perspective of life. And only God can be right. Only God is right, indeed. At times, we oftentimes make mistake when it comes to that. Oh, we think to ourselves, this is the person that's supposed to be given the job, or this is the person that's supposed to be given the job. But only God truly knows. And we oftentimes pray, let God's will be done according to his glory. I'm not going to be long tonight. I'm not a long-winded preacher anyway. But with the passage that it is before us tonight, there are three things that I would like to consider with you from this passage. My text is verse 14 of chapter 18. Verse 14, in which we read, "And David behaved himself wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him." First of all, we would like to consider David's friend. Secondly, David's foe, or enemy, if you will. And thirdly, David's fame. First of all, let us see in the first place here, David's friend. We are told that David had a great friend whose name was Jonathan. Great friendship in the Lord. Oh, it is good and it's a wise thing to have friends. But it is also wise to have friends who encourages you in the things of God and in the things of eternity.
Or we can have friends who are wild, if you will. We can have friends who encourage you in negative things. But here we see that David had this great friend, Jonathan. And we are told elsewhere that they share such a relationship, they share such a friendship in the things of God. Sweet fellowship, sweet union. We don't have time to read it, but we notice that in the verses 1 to 4. Of such great friendship. Jonathan was very good to David. David was very good and kind to Jonathan. Now, there's something that is going to happen when there is such bond, especially as God's people. I oftentimes remind my own congregation in Little London that whenever the blessing of the Lord is flowing, expect something to come. Whenever God is pouring out His blessing in your heart and in your life, maybe in your church, expect the devil to step in. Because we find here that when David and Jonathan became friends, oh, the trouble now starts. What was that? Let us notice very quickly three subpoints. Due to David and Jonathan who became friends, the first thing that came up was jealousy. Jealousy. Saul now was vexed. He observed, he looked, he beheld such a relationship, such a great union, such a great blessing, and it caused a great jealousy. A great jealousy in which Saul now decided to do what? To befriend David. To destroy him. This, of course, should caution God's people as we live our lives for Him. Because the enemy's great desire is to stop you. Stop you from doing what? From serving God, stop you from the great fellowship, the great communion that we have with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Not only the jealousy was identified, but the joy was also identified. Because David and Jonathan lived such a life where it brings such joy and happiness to their own lives. When David heard of the death of Jonathan, when he heard that his friend Jonathan died, this is what he said in 2 Samuel chapter 1. Something that may astonish you, something that may frighten you, and people today ask, what does that mean? David says of Jonathan in 2 Samuel chapter 1 and the verse 26. Listen to what he says. He says, I am distressed for thee, my brother Jonathan. Very pleasant hast thou been unto me. Thy love to me was wonderful, passing the love of woman. Now, what does that mean? Well, it doesn't mean that David was a lover of men in any negative way. But it does mean that there were such close bond in union, in fellowship, extraordinary. And so that is what is required of every believer in Christ. There should be such a bond that when the person is passed away from this life, we might truly say, yes, that person was such a friend indeed. In our time of devotion, in our time of prayer, and the list goes on. But not only we identify the jealousy, the joy, but there was justice. There was justice, outrage. Jonathan explained to his father, and he invited David to a feast. But let me tell you something. True friends are faithful at all times, according to God's word. True friends in Christianity is faithful at all times. Oh, Saul tried to destroy David, but Jonathan defended David in every way because he knew that David was a righteous man. He knew that David was innocent. And it all came about because of jealousy. You see, my friends and my brethren, Jonathan faithfully defended his friend. Some people would keep silent. But no, that is not the best way. The truth must be told. The truth of God's word must be defended. But Jonathan was a very true friend to David. Very true friend. What are we told of that wise man in his words that he addressed to us in Proverbs chapter 17, verse 17? This is what we are told. It says, a friend loveth not at some times. Not only when the time is going good and right, but a friend, this is a true friend now, but a friend loveth at all times. It doesn't matter the circumstances of life. It doesn't matter if they are taken in the valley. A friend, a true friend, loveth at all times. Always concerned for one another. But notice here with me in the second place, not only we have David's friend, but secondly, David's foe. If you will, the word foe carries the idea of enemy. Saul now became the enemy of David. What, may we ask, by the way, what is the plan? What is the intention? What is the aim of the enemy? It's only one thing. When we think of the enemies, Oh, and I tell you, if you are a Christian tonight, believe it or not, if you are a Christian tonight, you will have enemies. The Bible says all that Christ did was nothing but good. As he was on earth, all that he did was good. And the Bible says he had the greatest of enemies. Now, if Christ is perfect and all that he did was good, and he had such an enemy, we who are not perfect, can we just imagine? But go back. What is the intention of the enemy? What is the plan? There's only one plan. And the plan was evident of what they did to the Lord Jesus Christ, what they did to him. They never stopped till they nail him on the tree. If you will, they never stopped it till they killed him. And that is the intention, and that is the plan of the enemy. He will not stop until he sees your death. And then what? Then he rejoices in his own goodness. David's foe, Saul, became his great enemy. We see that in verses 10 and 11 of chapter 19. Some may ask why David did not retaliate. Why David did not do unto Saul as he was doing unto him. Some may ask the question, and some may see the Christian life as being foolish. Because they will say, look at what the enemy is doing to you. Why don't you do back the same thing or even worse? But our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ teaches us a very important and a very vital lesson that we should all exercise. We found that in the book of St. Matthew chapter 5. And this is the instruction of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, bless them that do what? That curse you. Bless them that persecute you. Pray for them. Uphold them at the throne of heavenly grace. Do good unto them. You see, that is what identifies the Christian. The Christian is not identified because he or she comes to church. The Christian is not identified because they partake of the Lord's Supper. The Christian is not even identified because he reads God's word or preaches God's word. The Christian is identified when he is abiding in the commandment or in the instruction given by the Lord. Bless them, he says. Pray for them, he says. Do good. Now, I tell you something, as a Christian and from God's word, that is not an easy thing to do. But it is what God has required us to do. Oh, if you tell me that it is easy, I will question that. But David did not react in such a way. No. Because David knew that Jehovah God does takes care of his people. That's why I say God's people are so special to him. Tonight, I want you to know as a Christian and as a believer that you are very special in the eyes of the Lord. You are very special to Him in every way. But notice here with me in closing. We have seen David's friend. We have seen David's foe. But notice David's fame. David became famous. The people had praised him. And even that carries, pushes more threats to his life. Isn't it unbelievable? David here became famous. Look with me, please, at verse 5. Chapter 18, 1 Samuel, chapter 18, verse 5. And David went out whithersoever Saul sent him, and he behaved himself wisely. And Saul set him over the men of war. And he was accepted in the sight of all the people, and also in the sight of Saul's servant. Take a look at verse 12. And Saul was afraid of David, because the Lord was with him and was departed from Saul. Come down to verse 16. But all Israel and Judah loved David, because he went out and came in before them. Take a look at verse 20. And Michal, Saul's daughter, loved David. Here we see that David became famous. Know what the psalmist said in Psalm number 84, verse 11? He said something of great importance that the people of God should apply to our hearts and that we should know. It says, "For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly." Why should the Lord forsake you when you live for Him? Oh, make no mistake about it. You shall and you will experience difficult times. Times when you feel like throw in the towel. Times when you feel like, what we would say in Jamaica, just call it a day. A time when you say, I have enough of it. But as David, he was pressing on. Because he knows that his source of strength comes from Jehovah God. My friends and my brethren, as we come to an end tonight, let me ask, such as David had such a friend like Jonathan, may I invite you to even more a closer friend who is known as the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says he sticketh closer than any brother. He is there for you in every step of the way. And we are sure of his glorious promises. What is that? Though you walk through the fire, he says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, saith the Lord. Shall we pray? Our Father and our great God, we thank thee for thy word. We pray that thou wilt write thy truth upon our hearts. Bless us richly by thy word. In Christ's name, amen. Amen.
Thank our brother for bringing us that word tonight, and it is a good challenge for us. We're going to conclude our service, please, with number 660. You'll find it in your hymnal. It will not be on the screen, number 660. And we will stand to sing, and we ask you, please, just to wait for a short time as we come to our service of dedication now. Congregation, please be seated. Coming up, guys. That's good fun. You guys can be stand, or you can be seated, whatever you want to do. Or you can come. There's a chair on this side here, a bit too crowded. Yeah, that's perfect. Oh, that's great. Folks, I'm very delighted and happy to be able to dedicate little Evelyn tonight to the Lord, and there are a number of reasons for that. All of David and Lori's children have been dedicated here in the church family, and I'm happy that we're able to dedicate Evelyn as well to the Lord. Another reason is because our brother David's father, Gordon Bryant, was a faithful deacon in our congregation for many, many years. And it got to the point where his health did not allow him to serve anymore. And sometime after that, he was made an honorary elder in the congregation until the Lord took him home to glory. And so that is another reason why I'm delighted to be able to dedicate little Evelyn tonight. And also, we were very happy as a congregation to be able to pray for Lori during the time of a very high-risk pregnancy that she had with Evelyn. And we were praying that not only would the Lord bless her during the time that little one was inside the womb, but also during the birth. And now, as she is growing and almost a year old now, and right up around this time, and I'm so happy that the Lord has answered prayer and has given this precious little one to the family. Her name is Evelyn Victoria Sparrow Bryant. And they chose the middle name, one of them, Sparrow, because Lori and David were assured that the Lord had his hand upon the little one as he has his hand and his eye upon the sparrow. We are told in Psalm 104 and verse 12 that the little sparrows and the birds, they sing among the branches. And in the singing among the branches is an indication of the praise that all creation gives to the Lord. And certainly in the life of the little ones, God takes great blessing and encouragement from this, and from this little one that is a sparrow. And for that reason, Lori and David have asked Mrs. McClelland at the end of our dedication service if she would sing a solo called His Eye is on the Sparrow, and she's going to come and do that at the conclusion of our service here now. These parents, David and Lori, have brought little Evelyn here to be publicly dedicated to the Lord, that this little one will come to know the Savior very early in her life, and that her life itself will be dedicated and devoted to the glory of God, and that her life will be to the praise of His name and an encouragement to others. Dedication follows a scriptural pattern. Dedication does not mean salvation, because at some time in the life of every single one that ever comes to know Jesus Christ, they will come to that personal faith. And our prayer, the prayer of David and Lori, is that this little one will also trust in the Lord very early in her life. And the scripture gives to us a very good example in the Old Testament by the life of Hannah, of one who brought a little one to the Lord in prayer and in physical devotion. We know that Hannah prayed to the Lord for a child because she was barren. And when she came to the Lord in prayer with a broken heart, she said, "Lord, if you bless me with a son, I will give him back to you again." And so when God indeed answered her prayer, and it came to that time that the Lord gave her a child, and she was ready to lend him back to the Lord again. And so Hannah dedicated her child to the Lord. And as these dear folks are dedicating this little one to the Lord, it is for the purpose that she will be given to him for his ultimate glory and purpose. The Lord tells us in his word that children are an heritage of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is his reward. And in the Gospel of Luke, the Lord Jesus was very happy to welcome and take up the infants into his arms and to bless them. And oh, if you could imagine for a moment in your mind what that scene would have been like for the mothers bringing these little ones to the Savior and he taking them up into his arms and holding them and blessing them. What a picture we have of the sovereign God looking down upon little ones as he does upon this little one here just now. It was a blessing to know the testimony of young Timothy in the New Testament because the Apostle Paul said that his mother and grandmother both showed him the things of God from his youth. He was trained and brought up in that way, and so that's a very important thing for the dedication of a little one and why these parents have done this today as well. And so I direct a few comments to you, David, and also to Lori. For in bringing this little one to the Lord to be dedicated today, do you fully realize that it means that you will promise and covenant before God to train your daughter in the ways of the Lord, praying daily for her, and that you will remember to order your home in such a way, in such a manner, that she will always see the Lord Jesus Christ reflected in your life and in your behavior, your conduct, that you will not knowingly do anything that is to dishonor the Lord and so put a stumbling block in the way of this little one by your desire of dedicating her to the Lord's purpose, that you will respect each other always and show the scriptural pattern of the love of God. For in so doing, she will see in your lives the love of God, and she will see the pattern in which we are to go. And seeing her dressed in a beautiful little white dress right now, you could never imagine a little one doing anything wrong ever. And there are a few children here and wives of children and so on, and we all know what that's like. But little Heather, you never do anything wrong, do you? Well... She actually had to admit that sometimes maybe. Well, the thing is that when little ones are dedicated to the Lord, parents are acknowledging that before God, they are saying, we will endeavor to restrain the evil and to bless the good. And that will be sometimes the school of hard knocks. And it will sometimes be the need for little, gentle chastening. But this is scriptural discipline, and it is a good pattern. And the Lord encourages us to do that. Do you acknowledge that you endeavor before the Lord to do these things that we have talked about today? Yes. In presenting Evelyn to the Lord for dedication, I hereby dedicate this one, Evelyn Victoria Sparrow Bryant, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. These words from Numbers chapter 6 are important. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and unto his sons, saying, on this wise ye shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee, and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee, and give thee peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. This is a promise that the living God has made to his people. And it's a promise that we take today. And as you have publicly brought this little one before God, to be dedicated. She's so precious. Going to ask Mrs. McClellan to come now, and if you folks want to just have a seat there for a moment, and then Mrs. McClellan, we're going to come and sing, and then we will have a closing word of prayer.
should I feel discouraged? Why do the shadows come? Why should my heart be lonely and long for heaven and home, when Jesus is my portion, my constant friend is He. His eye is on little sparrow, and I know He watches me. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. Let not your heart be troubled. These tender words I hear, and resting on His goodness, why should I doubt and fear? For by the path He leadeth, but one step I may see. His eye is on little sparrow, and I know He watches me. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. Whenever I am tempted, whenever clouds arise, when dawn gives place to sighing, and hope within me dies, I draw the closer to Him. From care He sets me free. His eye is on little sparrow, and I know He watches me. His eye is on little sparrow, and I know He watches me. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. For His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me.
Yeah. In just a moment, we will close in prayer and have the dedication prayer for the little one. But I just want to invite everyone to remain behind afterward. And at the conclusion, the family is just going to be going out to the foyer, and you can greet them there, and then we want to be able to let them get downstairs fairly soon after that as well. You know, as Lori was going through the difficulty in the pregnancy with the little one, there were many times of just not knowing how things were going to go, and for a mother, for sure, and a father, and those uncertain times, it is a very big challenge. But the Lord gave them the faith and the trust in the Savior to know that God does all things well. And you know, we are also, we're thankful to be able to pray for our sister Kirsten here tonight as well. And I had the joy of going down to Moncton when Jonathan and her were married, and she is going through some health treatment right now, and it was a blessing to also see how God has answered. And I would encourage you to keep praying for this young woman as they started out their life together, and not to exclude any of the other family members, of course, but just to thank God for them. So Let's ask the Lord's blessing now. Father, you have witnessed tonight the dedication of this little one, the answer to many prayers. Her life was spared, and you have given her strength and health. And Lord, for all this, we acknowledge the good hand of our God. We bless thee, Lord. We give thanks because these things go far beyond our power, our understanding, our ability. And we acknowledge, Lord, tonight thy good hand upon Evelyn. And we pray that in her life, whatever disability she might have, that, O Lord, that will not be a hindrance in the smallest way, but rather it might please thee, Lord, to cause her to do great things for thy kingdom. In her way, in a life that is given into the hand of God, a life to be used, Lord, hear this, our prayer today, and pour out thy Spirit upon her. Bless the entire family. We think of Kirsten here tonight as well, and we ask for thy hand to be upon her body, to touch her and to strengthen her and to heal her, and that, Lord, there might be joy and rejoicing for all thy mercy and good grace upon us. Hear our prayers now tonight. Receive our thanksgiving for the food provided downstairs, and help us to eat and drink to the glory of God. Bless our conversation. May it be of the Lord. Hear this, our prayer. We ask for Jesus' sake. Amen. Thank you.